So we have five copies here. First five people get them for free. That's a God sighting. Okay, second thing is, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. So what is lifting your soul? I believe it's telling God candidly what we're thinking, wanting, and feeling, because our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotion. So lifting them to God, telling them what we're really thinking, what we're really wanting, what we're really feeling. God, how could you have allowed this? This is messing everything up. I don't understand this. I'm really upset. Telling him all about it. I do this by writing it out, because when I do that, I can see the bigger picture. When I just do it in my mind, I have this very small TV screen up here. I can't see that much. But writing it out helps me a great deal. I have to finish my thoughts and my sentences. And no editing. God knows what you're thinking and feeling anyway. You can't hide it from him. But to tell him pleases him, because we're being open and honest with him. And then asking him what he thinks about what you've just shared. What is your perspective on this, Lord? And when I do that, he will bring relevant scriptures to mind, which is a reason why we should be memorizing scripture. I think it's very important to do that. So one time I was alone at home, and this fear overcame me. It was an unreasonable, demonic fear, actually. And so I talked to God about it, and when it came to mind, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That was so comforting to me to remember that scripture. That's his perspective on it. And he will also help you to see where you are trusting your heart, not him. We don't want to trust our hearts. We want to trust God. And finally, is surrender to his direction. So sometimes when I go through this, in the end, I realize the thing I want to do, I can't. So I give it up to God and say, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do that. And taking this time to lift my soul to God gives God the opportunity to give clear direction in my life. And it is amazing how he gives guidance, perspective, and insights in this process. Sometimes I've done that, and I was upset with this person. And then in the process of lifting my soul to God, God showed me why I was upset with that person, which was sinful selfishness. I was competing with them. I didn't need to do that. I was jealous. But I didn't realize that until I lifted my soul to God, and he could show me that. The third thing is, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, for I flee to you to hide me. This is the key phrase. I flee. That means I don't try to do this myself. I immediately come to God. He says, Psalm 62 says, God is my high tower. See this picture of the little tower here? I like towers. Some of you know I just built a tower behind my house. A tower is a place of safety. From it, we can see far, have perspective. We can discern what the enemy is doing, and we can attack him from the tower. But if we get down on the ground, we're vulnerable. So a tower doesn't do much good if we don't enter it. So how do we enter this? Psalm 62 says, truly he is my rock and my salvation and my high tower. I will never be shaken. If we're in that tower, we won't be shaken. So the Psalm 18 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Again, the key, taking refuge intentionally when things happen. So how do we do this? How do we enter this tower? Well, first of all, when difficulty comes, we immediately go to God in prayer. So last night, reprinting one of my books to be distributed in Pakistan, and I sent quite a large sum of money to do that, and by a thing called RIA at Walmart. Well, they sent the money to a bank, to somebody's account in a bank, many hours from where my partner works in Pakistan. So I went back to Walmart last night. They said, oh, it's not in our system. You didn't send this from us. I said, yes, I did. Look, here's the receipt right here. They said, oh, yeah. So immediately, the thought came, I'm going to lose all this money. And then the next thought was, but Lord, it's yours anyway. Okay, I thank you for this. I praise you what you're going to do in this situation. Help us to know. So one woman said, oh, I can't do anything. Another woman said, let me try it. So she persisted until she was able to get that money back and resend it to the right thing. But it was a half hour of tension there when I didn't know the outcome, but I stayed up in the tower and I was relaxed. I just got out my prayer list and did some praying while I was waiting, and it was a good experience. So then we need to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, opening the way for his salvation. The sacrifice of thanksgiving is saying thanks when we don't feel like it. I didn't feel like giving thanks for that last night, but I did anyway because I know God has a plan. I know God has a plan, and he's going to work it out, even if he loses it. And I've told you before about losing my keys, which I do about once every 2 weeks, and he always has provided for them. But he doesn't always bring it back. I lost my wallet with a bunch of stuff in it. It hasn't come back. But I let it go and move on to the next thing because God has a plan. So we have to remember how he's helped you in the past. Again, note that this is an important thing. Remember the things he's done in your past because that indicates how he's going to work in your present. And we choose to trust him that he will help you now. You choose it. You stay up in that tower. Because if you come off of that tower, you're very vulnerable to Satan's attacks, worry, fear, anger, fights with other people, and so on. So I had an example of that is I had a guy who was telling other people negative things about me. And so I went and talked to him about it. He denied it, but I know it was true. But I forgave him as we're before I went. And we talked about it, and he talked about, oh, I always say good things about you, but not true. But we worked it through, and we came out with a good relationship. And then later on, I had to get help from him, and he was very willing to help me. So even though it didn't get what I wanted out of it, which was confession and asking forgiveness, he knows I know now that he does this, and then our relationship is going on in a good way. So I stayed up in the tower. I didn't get angry. I didn't shout at him. I didn't tell other people about this. I'm telling you about it, but you don't know who it is, so it doesn't matter. But staying in the tower is important. So remember, we need to remember Scripture. The Lord, things like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And some of those paths are through the valley of the shadow of death. But there I feel no evil, for you are with me. Remember these truths is so important to us. And then the last one, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That means that when we're in a situation, we won't see goodness and mercy, but afterwards, when we look back, we can see it. Okay, the fourth thing in Psalm 143 is, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. To say he is my God declares my surrender to him, because God means final authority. It says the same thing there. To make him my God, I must know the word, have a daily quiet time for the right motive. I talked to a young fellow here about, I said, do you have a quiet time? He said, yes, I do. I said, how often? Every day. I said, why do you do that? Now, why do most people have a quiet time? I'll tell you why, because they should. That's the wrong motive. This young fellow said, I want to know God better. That's a great motive. And so every day he's getting to know God better by being in the Word. But when you do it because you should, you tend to say, okay, let's get this over with and move on with life. But when you do it because you want to, because you want to know God, it makes a whole different thing. Memorize important passages. This is, I think, is really important, as I mentioned before, Psalm 23, Psalm 46, Psalm 86, Ephesians 1 about who you are in Christ and so on. You need to memorize passages that speak to your sinful tendencies. So I am easily angry. I will easily tell people off. So one of my verses I have in that is, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So when I feel that heat rising up in me, that verse comes to mind. I say, okay, all right, acting this way is not going to help. I'm going to have a mess to clean up if I do. So God uses his word to help me in that. And surrender to his wisdom. Many times his wisdom is different than ours. We would think that one thing that, as a people pleaser, I like to help people. And I have learned that many times people who ask for help don't need what they're asking for. They need something else. So I have to say no to this and offer them something that they don't want. Like, for instance, a very simple example, guy's panhandling. He said, I need money for food. I said, come on, I'll take you to the restaurant. Oh, no, no, I don't want to do that. Just give me money. So I'm using God's wisdom, but he didn't accept it. But so do things differently than we would do naturally. So don't be an intellectual Christian. An intellectual Christian is one who affirms everything that's in the Word. You agree with it, you believe it, but you don't apply it. You do your own thing. And that's a dangerous road to go down. Fifth in this Psalm 143 is, your spirit is good, lead me into the land of uprightness. Now, Jesus is always leading us. He's always calling us to partner with him. But the most common advice you get in America is, just follow your heart. How many times have you heard that? Everybody heard that? Yeah. It's all the time I hear people say that. Just follow your heart. Well, Scripture tells us that our natural heart is wicked and deceitful. If we follow that, we're in trouble. Jesus said, deny yourself, that is your heart, take up your cross daily and follow me. We're to follow him, not our heart. Following Jesus will be counterintuitive. It will be countercultural. It will be counternatural. But it will be good when we follow him. It leads to freedom and peace and joy. And we must choose to follow him in each situation. Every situation is a new chance to decide. Just for instance, you get up Sunday morning and say, yo, I deserve a morning off. I'm really tired. I'm not going to go to church today. Or you get up in the morning and say, oh, my goodness, I don't feel like having a quiet time today. I'm just going to get breakfast and take off. Now, that's each situation. You need to make a decision to follow Jesus. Actually, you make it before. You make a decision, I'm going to have a quiet time every day. I'm going to go to church every Sunday unless there's some real reason, like I'm not here or I'm really sick. And then in that, when you don't feel like it, which is your heart, you say, nope, I'm following Jesus. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. He is always leading. Are we always following? It's a conscious decision to do that. So these are the five ways to partner with God. Number one, actively trust him. Number two, regularly lift your soul to God. Number three, flee to him in each challenge. Number four is to actively surrender. And number five is to consistently follow him where he leads. Now, you can look at these. Just look in Psalm 143, verses 8 through 10, and they're all right there. So how do we apply this lesson? Well, I would suggest you pick one of these partnering ways with God and practice it this week. Just pick one. And then as you go through your week, consciously practice it. And then pray regularly through Psalm 143, 8 through 10. Here's an example. Here's how I pray through this. I'd say, Lord, help me to trust you more so I can hear your loving kindness in the morning. If we trust God, we wake up, we're going to think about his goodness. If we don't, we wake up and then we're worrying about what's going to happen that day. Help me to regularly lift my soul to you so you can give me direction. Lifting your soul is work. I have to make myself do it many times, although I don't feel like it, but I do. Help me to flee immediately to you when problems or troubles come. Help me to choose to do your will, for you are my final authority in all. And help me to consistently follow you according to your word. So, something happened here. Okay, if we do this, it will transform your life, you will have joy, you will get direction, and you will have grace and fruitfulness in your life. So let's do it. Simple as that. Just decide to do it and make Psalm 143, 8 through 10 a part of your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you have given us clear direction in your word. We ask that you help us to do what we know is right, which is the definition of godliness. May we follow you well. May we listen to your word. May we walk with you so that we might be a shining light to all those around us. We ask this in your name. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing once again hymn number 521, and watch me on the chorus.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child that forever I am. And so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually.